Planet Rock. The hit, I can't do it. Why I pet? I can't do accents. Why I? It's the Hairy Rock Show. That sounds like Yorkshire.
The Hairy Rock Show with the Hairy Bikers.
Only on Planet Rock.
Hi, we're the Hairy Bikers, and this is the Hairy Rock Show podcast.
The Hairy Rock Show with the Hairy Bikers.
Only on Planet Rock.
Now, Anne of Cleves, Rick, that was one of my favourites. I mean, but songs in those days, they did tend to go on a bit, didn't they? Did you ever think it's gone on too long?
I had one major problem. I couldn't write endings. So it used to go on forever. It was the Yes problem as well.
Oh, yes.
It would go on forever and ever and ever, and then suddenly you'd find a way of ending. And it would be a thrill when you found a way of ending. And Anne of Cleves, I never actually found a proper ending for Anne of Cleves. It actually, if you literally listen to it, well, if anybody was listening to it, then they're probably going to eat their breakfast. The truth of the matter is, it sort of collapses at the end. Alan White just does a sort of a thrum, and that was it. And we went, that'll do.
Yeah, but at least you knew with the Six Wives of Henry VIII. You know, like, when you had vinyl, I used to love, you know, you pick the tracks out.
Yeah.
A lot of the big concept albums, there was always that bit that you like to listen to time and time again. And I could get it, you know. I'd be there with my stylus. You know, I'd be like a clog dancer with bad knees, you know.
Well, I was constantly asked why the Wives were in their chronological order on the album. Well, they couldn't be because of lengths that you could put on each side. You know, if they'd have been in order, then one side would have been like 8 minutes longer than the other, so it couldn't happen. But Anne of Cleves, I always like, it's rarely played.
Oh, I love it.
It's not one that's played because it's that little bit longer, but luckily on Planet Rock, they'll go that extra length, cried.
Yeah. But you know, it's interesting you should say that about where you put it, because I do believe it is second track in.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, you see. You know, for 30-odd years, I've always thought it was Anne Boleyn I liked. And it was only when I was looking at this, and I played Anne Boleyn, I thought, that's not it. And yeah. I had to go back through it all again and realise it was, in fact, Anne of Cleves. It's cleared up a mystery.
Well, it has, and also, see, Anne managed to keep her head, whereas Catherine Howard and Anne Boleyn both lost theirs.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah, they had to go.
What inspired you to write that, Rick?
It's really boring. Eat another sausage. It's really... What it was, I'd been asked to do the album by A&M Records, and I don't sing. I have sung, but you don't hear me sing. So I knew it was going to be an instrumental record, and I was looking for a subject. And I love history, and I love legends, I love myths, and I love the whole historical thing. And I was at Richmond, Virginia Airport, which was a tiny little airport, and the bookstall that they had there had a little carousel with about 30 books on. Most of which were just junk, either sort of what I call romances, and I'm not good at romance books, unless they've got pictures. And so I looked around, and there was the only book that I fancied there was called The Private Life of Henry VIII.
Right.
And I picked that up and sat on the plane, because this is before days of Walkmans and listening to music on planes. I got on the plane with this book, The Private Life of Henry VIII, started reading it, and I got, funny you should mention Anne Boleyn, I got to Anne Boleyn, and... this is going to sound corny, but this whole melody thing started coming in my head. And I always carry manuscript paper with me, and I just wrote it down. And then I kept reading a bit more about it, and then some other little themes came in, and I wrote them down. And I went through the book a little bit more and came to a bit of Catherine of Aragon, and I've got my theme here. And that's how it all started. And for literally 1 year, I read nothing else but about the Tudor periods and the wives and things, and just wrote it over the period of the year, because I was with Yes at the time, so it was just a matter of time.
Yes.
And we started recording it in 1971 and finished at the end of 72.
Gosh.
I mean, because it was just whenever I could get a 3 minute to go in the studio.
But everybody had that album. It was brilliant. Anyway, you're listening to The Hairy Rock Show with me, Dave Myers.
And me, Rick Wakeman.
Planet Rock's Hairy Rock Show with Si and Dave.
Planet Rock.
I used to like R.E.M., but they can be a bit indulgent, do you think?
Yeah, it's hardly fair for me to say that, though, considering someone like I've I mean, to say they're indulgent, I mean, if you call REM indulgent, then what the hell am I?
No, no, but you always looked happy when you're there with your blonde hair, you know, waving like that with your mighty organ.
Yeah,
but, you know, like Michael Stipe, he always looks depressed.
Yeah, well, maybe he hasn't got a mighty organ. That's the problem.
Exactly.
You see, I used to have my mighty organ in front of my cape, behind my cape and going, and I used to, like, swish it around, you know. And
oh, aye.
Maybe REM, they haven't got anything to swish around.
That's it, you had swish.
Yeah.
Right, so it's on to cooking now, Rick.
Yep.
And this is a bit of homage to you, really, because I know you love your curries. Well, Si and I love our curries, you know, hence our book called Great Curries, which is available in all good bookshops.
And some crap ones, too.
Oh, any bookshop, supermarket, you know, we're grateful to anybody that'll flog them. But it is a really good book. But,
yep.
But not about the book, it's not all about the book. It's... For this first curry, I want to tempt you, Rick, with something a bit special.
Okay.
And it's a Japanese, you know, the katsu curry.
I do.
Which is kind of like a fried fritter with a curry sauce. It's one of those indecent things that shouldn't be good. But the pork ones are tonkatsu. But the chicken katsu curry. But this one, we thought we'd kind of liven it up a bit. And it's a shimi katsu curry. Shimi pepper being that blend of, like, Japanese. It's shimi togarashi, which is a blend of seven spices. And you put that in with your crumb mix, your beaten eggs, your flour. And, you know, use the panko breadcrumbs. You know, those kind of Japanese breadcrumbs that are like shrapnel, really, really sharp and crisp. Because there's a gentleman who runs my local tandoori, and he sadly died the other week. He fell into a coma. But you see, basically, you have the fried fritter. In this case, it was a chicken one with a sashimi kind of dressing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you make a chicken katsu curry sauce, which is very much like, you know, the sauce that you get in a chip shop that you shouldn't really like. But actually, this is really quite good.
Mm.
But this is a homemade one with coriander seeds, cumin, cardamom, fennel. But you see, traditionally, this will be served with a plate of shredded cabbage. You know, like we do it with rice.
Yeah,
with rice. But shredded cabbage, the meat part, the curry sauce and the rice. But it is a wonderful recipe.
And that sounds good,
if you kind of like the fried chicken thing, but the shimi really livens it up. And the recipe is on the Planet Rock website. It's all free for you to download, to cook and to love.
The Hairy Rock Show. With the Hairy Bikers.
Only on Planet Rock.
And we've got another email from John Butters. Over to you, Rick.
He says, "Hi, gents, love the show, best on Planet Rock. I'm currently living the good life in the wilds of Bulgaria with lots of animals, booze, loud music and the missus." I notice he puts the missus last. So I've got a friend here who's a bit of an electrical geek. And back in the late 70s, he made a radio. And if caught, he would have been punished with prison. That's very true. I've been going behind the Iron Curtain, as it used to be back then, since 1979. And, of course, up until the late 80s when the wall came down, it was like that. I mean, I got arrested a couple of times in Russia and Poland for being a naughty boy, just going places you weren't allowed to go. And plus, I stole a KGB uniform, which didn't help much. What do you think of this part of the world? And you came... I love Eastern Europe. It's changed so much. I mean, literally last week I was in Czech Republic, which is fantastic. I go to Russia a lot. I was there a month and a half ago. There's something fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's something that I think hairy bikers could have a lot of fun with. I'm not trying to be funny here, but when I first went to Eastern Europe, there was literally no food.
Yeah. I did go to Bulgaria in... Yeah. I went on one of those cheap skiing holidays, and this is going back like nearly 30 years.
Yeah,
and I remember there was no food.
There was
nothing.
I mean, the first time I went to Poland, it was a lot of borscht, a lot of beet. Mm. Everything was beetroot. Yeah. You know, everything was made with beetroot, and you might just be able to get pig's trotters and things. And there was little or no food. But if you went out into the villages, I was lucky enough to be taken out into some. Then the people who lived in the village were very clever with what they could grow and do themselves. And even though the walls come down and it's all changed over in Eastern Europe, I do love having the traditional dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you go out of the big cities and you go to a town, you know, you go into a town that's out of the big city, then they will be very authentic.
Well, our last series was Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, around there.
Yeah.
And I know Romania, because my wife's Romanian. Yeah. And
I'm talking about going into like Siberia and the places where nobody goes.
Yeah. Well, we've always said that really with the bikers. We always go to countries that are on the edge of people's radar. You know where you kind of think, Latvia. And what does it look like? And that nobody can form that mental picture.
No.
And that's one reason to go. But it's interesting you said about Poland. We never had so much as a bad sandwich in Poland at a garage. The food culture there. But these countries, they're full of optimism. They're growing so quickly.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. It's new flavours. It's exciting.
You've been listening to the Hairy Rock Show podcast. For more of us, head over to the Planet Rock website at planetrock.com.
The Hairy Rock Show, Sunday from 10 a.m.
And listen again Tuesday evening from 7. Planet Rock.